Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
On the list of 16 common household items that might kill you. So that makes sense. You know these. Extension cords. Not only a serious tripping hazard, but these cords also cause about 3,300 residential fires each year, which results in about 50 annual deaths. Mostly because they're misused or overloading the system, and they cause fire hazards. So, obviously, extension cords. We've all heard of the dangers of electric blankets. I think out of anything,
sure.
I would have a hard time going to bed knowing that the blanket that I'm sleeping under is getting pumped full of electricity. It just seems to be...
And I'm going to go to sleep.
A weird thing. Believe it or not, some say they can also lead to cancer and reproductive problems, although there's no solid evidence to back that up. Here's one for you, Ted. You might enjoy taking a little dip there in the hot tub or the swimming pool.
All right.
While you might think you have a squeaky clean one, there is a chlorine-resistant parasite, more than likely is hanging out. A report in News Today found the number in pools and hot tubs is increasing. There were over 1,000 cases of illnesses, hundreds of hospitalizations. One death was actually reported in 2012. If you have diarrhea or a leaky bladder, they are usually the cause because the parasites live and multiply in your gut. Then it enters the water when you have maybe some type of bathroom issue if you secrete it, and the cycle continues, and it grows within the tub. In other words, if you have bathroom issues, keep everyone safe. Stay out of the water.
Is secrete ever a good word?
Mm-hmm. No.
Like I said, we talk about moist. As long as it's cake, you're good. Anything else sucks. But secrete, I can't think of a time where I want to hear that.
I mean, that's a big reason, too. You don't let children in hot tubs, like small children in hot tubs.
Right.
They don't care. They're wearing a diaper.
Yeah. They secrete a lot.
Scarves, fashionable, yes. Safe, not always. The stable was the reason for two freak accidents, both involving a scarf getting tangled in the machinery and resulting in death for the wearers. Hopefully you don't go get on a go-kart at home or have a moving escalator in your house. But the point is, if they get caught on anything, including an escalator.
Right.
Including anything like an elevator or whatever. They are not good. So they say, just be careful because as much as you think scarves are fashionable and do their job, they can be just as dangerous. Our question, what do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Isn't that kind of like saying your shoelace is dangerous?
Yeah.
When I was little, man, I was traumatized watching a girl, she's maybe 2 years older than me. I don't remember the story we were at, but she was going up the escalator and her shoelaces got caught at the top thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just remember the screams coming from her. She wasn't injured. I want to say the thing came to a stop or someone hit the emergency stop, but it took them forever to get the shoes off of her feet because they've been pulled so tight.
Right.
But I mean, this girl, I mean, screaming, yelling. I just remember being a kid thinking like, I got
my shoelaces caught in my shoes going to the lake. Going down a hill, obviously, because you're going down a hill to the lake. Laces get caught. Chain pops off of the off the bike.
All right.
That's fine. I can get my laces out of the chain, but now I have no brake. So I didn't have handlebar brakes. This is an old school bike.
Yeah, the old ones.
You need the chain on there to get the brake. And I'm flying down this hill. I've got a giant 8-foot orange flag on the back of my bike for safety purposes, which apparently was the only thing that was going to save my life if I rode a bike around the neighborhood before. And all I remember was I had to eat it into a ditch. It's probably going about 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to bail into the side of the hill.
There's nothing else you could do.
There's nothing I could do. Either that or I was going to go and crash into a concrete barrier. So I just had to bail on it, man. I didn't have a shirt on, the whole deal. Basically, just shoes without socks.
We'd hit the neighborhood mailboxes. Same thing. Because I don't know what it was about those one-speed bikes. Apparently, the chains, 50% of the time. But if you get a good speed, it's going to come off. And like you said, you have zero brakes.
Well,
so you're assessing your situation, and it's the way the one hill worked where I lived. If you went all the way down the hill, you got to an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that this intersection was particularly busy, but you just had it in your head. I didn't get hit by a car. But
right.
At the end of the street was this big-ass row of mailboxes. And, I mean, so many people had to replace their mailbox. Because it wasn't just me. I mean, it's every kid in the neighborhood. Chain popped off. Go for the mailbox.
My problem was I popped a tire on the back 2 weeks before that. So, and my dad was like, look, here's an inner tube. Here's basically, it looked like a paint can opener.
Yeah, figure it out.
Here's some soap and water. You take the tire off, man. You pull the whole thing off. Here's a wrench. Get to work. Well, okay, I did it. I pumped it back up. It worked. But you really got to pull that tire back on the frame so that the chain will be taut. And if you have any type of loose chain, because you weren't strong enough to pull that, you know, that back rear wheel as tight as you can before you actually locked it in, then you'd have like a droopy chain.
And that's what the problem with children.
Yeah. What do you own and how did you discover that? And that was it. You fixed the bike, kid.
Right, like, right. That's why it keeps going wrong, because I'm 8.
Right. Like, I mean, shouldn't you maybe do this? What did you own and how did you discover it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Hey, that story about the monkey last Friday was hysterical, man. I was laughing on the way home.
That story was awesome.
Anyway, it was a good day.
Classic. But I have this 1929 Ford that's kind of a death trap as it is. But when I realized it was dangerous was I took it out for a spin probably a couple years ago in March. And I parked it for a couple hours and walked back into my garage. And it straight up smelled like gasoline in there, so I was a little worried, so I started looking around, and there's a huge pool of gas just pouring under the car, and it was parked right in front of my furnace and hot water heater. So as soon as I saw that, I just shut both the furnace and the hot water heater off. I was hoping I wouldn't blow my house up. So as soon as I figured out what was going on, I kind of just I guess the fuel pump started leaking in these old cars. It has these breather holes, and when the diaphragm fails, it just sort of starts pissing gas all over the place.
What did you say it was? 19 what?
1929.
What does this thing look like?
Yes. It's a Model A Ford.
Model A Ford,
Jesus.
1929. Now, is this thing like, is it like real expensive?
Well, I modified it a bunch, so it's not worth as much as it would be if it was completely original, but
or if it didn't leak gas.
Money, I guess.
But it looks like one of those cars that you would see in a movie or something, like in a gangster movie or
it's more of a hot rod these days. It's set up for racing, and it has like a 450 horsepower motor, so it's not exactly what you'd picture, but I enjoy it. It's my pride and joy.
You still have the, what could you get for it right now? I'm just curious.
I want to say the last time I tried to look up similar cars, it was like 35, so it's not as much as you guys might be thinking.
Okay. Do you have a radio in there?
Nope. No radio, no heat. Doesn't even have a roof, actually.
Huh. Okay.
A hell of a ride.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's quite the hobby.
Summertime car, pretty much.
Where do you find parts for that thing? I guess they're out there, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's more of a hot rod, so it has like a 70s Chevy setup, so it's pretty much anything you'd find in like a 60s Chevy Camaro. Right.
Okay.
So you can find parts for it pretty
easily.
That's
why it's breaking down on you.
Yeah. There you go.
What do you own, and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, a comment came in as far as today's question. It says, I'd have to say hair ties. Not only can they cause bowel obstructions if a cat eats them, they can cause tourniquet syndrome. That's from Melinda. She says, look it up. So I looked up tourniquet syndrome. Basically, it's also called hair thread tourniquet syndrome. It's a rare and commonly misdiagnosed condition caused by hair or fiber wrapped around the digits, penis, or even the clitoris. It usually affects infant and children.
Huh.
So you get to say, they show some pictures. But it's imagine getting a hair twisted real tight around your finger and what your finger would look like an hour later. It's like the tip's all blown up and purple looking and
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hmm.
What do you own, and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Miles, you always bitch about hair ties. Last week, I cannot explain it. There were two hair ties just sitting on the floor of the elevator.
Mm-hmm. All that.
I mean, hair ties are everywhere except
hair. It was my
hair.
Nemesis for years. So happy I'm done with those years.
No, I still
you know
got
what? Just a little, like...
Just a little just itty like bitty
black,
hair
right?
ties.
Like a...
Yeah, but with like a big goop ball of like tangled up hair with it. Yeah.
Always.
It's never just clean and nice. It's got like this matty ass looking
I'm always amazed at how quick and easily women can put them in and then take them out, right? So my daughter's going to take a shower. She's got a hair tie. It's like a 15-minute process for me to get it out of her hair. Because they keep stringing it around and ripping hair. She's screaming out. So I'm like, look, man, I don't know what I'm doing. And no offense. You recognize your dad's bald, so, like, hair etiquette's kind of out the window with me, man.
They're just like, boom, boom, boom,
they
and it's done.
In a heartbeat. Yeah. But I'm trying to get this thing out. It's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's why this sucks for you.
Speaking of hair, a Boston barber slipped and fell forward onto the floor during a haircut Friday, directly onto the scissors that he was holding. He was walking around the back of the chair, and all of a sudden, he's on the floor. I look down, and I see blood, according to Max Cohen, who was getting a haircut from Steve Silva at the time. He said, oh, my God, I just stabbed myself. And he pulls a set of scissors out of his chest. Silva's colleagues rush to his aid, and Cohen grabs something to compress the wound while also talking to Silva in an attempt to help him stay calm. 29-year-old Barber was then taken to a nearby hospital. He had to go undergo emergency open-heart surgery. The scissors had actually pierced an artery. He'll be hospitalized for at least 2 weeks, but is expected to make a full recovery, according to Boston 25. Thank God we're close to Mass General, he says.
Did you see that video?
No, they have a video of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just nonchalant. He's just in a barber shop. And just, it's nothing like crazy violent. I mean, it just looks like a normal person tripping. But most people don't know this, but you go to like a real barber shop, like the shears are very sharp.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but.
And it just catches.
Okay,
like,
think about this. Think about it this way. Whatever hand you are, if you're right or left, then, you know, the bigger hole of the scissors goes through your thumb, and then the other one goes through your index finger. So in the event that you were to put your hands down because you fall, that's your first instinct, what that does is it immediately
forces
the scissors straight up. So it's, you know,
he knows that
it's
now.
An impaling device at that point, basically. What do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
I own a six-foot bong.
All right.
That is very dangerous. Every time I hit it, I end up on the floor.
How can you hit it without help?
Oh, you have to have a friend. That's how I know I passed out, because the friend wakes me up.
that's how I know it's dangerous.
I'll tell you what, it's easier than a gravity bong, man, out of a 2-liter bottle. It really is.
Yeah.
I've done them both. So if you can't do a 6-footer, don't do a gravity bong. Because a gravity bong will put you on your ass.
How many times do you hit this bad boy, say, in the course of a month?
Oh, God, maybe twice a month.
Okay.
Last time I did it, I hit the back of a TV and woke up blowing smoke out.
What do you mean? So you fell backward into a television?
Yeah.
Have you considered maybe doing it in a more open floor plan?
Or like sitting down in a chair.
Yeah,
and then putting it between your legs and have someone light it down on the floor.
It's just the angles. It's so big. The angle's so weird where I live. You have to stand up to do it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I don't know that I'd keep doing it if I passed out every time.
Yeah.
Okay,
all right, well, that doesn't seem to be much of a turn for you. So
that's you, Tab.
Keep on partying, brother.
My bad.
Yeah. But I just keep touching the stove and keep getting burned. What do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Guess I'm the jackass.
Right. You idiot.
Right, because I'm with Miles. Like, I've done a 6-footer.
Me too.
Like, you could be sitting down and have somebody across the room, but he's like, you got to stand up. Like, why are we still hitting it?
It's kind of like doing a whip-it. Sit down.
Just sit down.
Just sit down.
Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So back in, it was either January or February of this year, me and my girlfriend and her roommate and their kids went up sledding up at Stevens Pass. And I heard you guys talking about the whole circular disc sled, and it reminded me of this story. So we went up there, went to Leavenworth. On our way back, we stopped off at Stevens Pass. And while we're up there, we had just gotten one of the circular sleds and a normal sled. Well, she was so excited about going and sledding, she grabs the sled, and we're in a parking lot that they had just plowed. And so there was about a 2-foot drop into the parking lot from where all the snow had been built up. So she climbs up on this little thing, goes up, gets on her sled, and slides down, can't stop, and slides off the edge and slammed right on her butt. Well, we take her to the hospital later on that night, and she had fractured one of her vertebrae in her back.
Damn. How old's the kid?
The kids are 7 and 9. My girlfriend's 30.
So the kid was the one who fractured her back?
No, it was my girlfriend.
Oh, that's see, that's worse, because you're not, yeah.
Right, you can't get away from her. How long is she kind of...
I know.
How long did the injury last before she kind of got back to normal?
Oh, she's still dealing with it. It's a 6-month process to heal your back. They said she was lucky that she didn't have to have surgery and didn't have to wear a back brace.
Did she know immediately that she... I mean, other than just being in pain, did she know something was wrong?
When she couldn't sit down in the car.
Winter sports scare me because they involve a lot of speed. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't care if you're skating. I don't care. Unless you're snowshoeing, maybe not. But for the most part, all that stuff involves a skill level and some coordination, and it involves speed.
But I mean, I don't mind the skill level and coordination because you can usually dictate what you choose to do. So if you're skiing, like, I'm not going to do the Black Diamond because I recognize I'm not equipped for that. The one that blows my mind, and you only see it at the Olympics. I've never seen anyone do it, you know, at Stevens or something. What is it, skeleton? Where you're laying in the diving position on, like, the bobsled solo?
Yeah. It's like luge, but face forward.
It's face forward. And I understand they train and all this, but that's like NASCAR. You still might hit the wall going 180, right? So these guys are going, what, 70 miles an hour down this ice-slick trench. And every once in a while, you see something go wrong. And it just seems to me that face first is always the way I don't want to do anything. Unless it's sex, right? But any kind of sport, like, I don't want to do this face first.
And you're right. You don't want to slide face first.
Right. I mean, you're going that fast, and it's the only difference is the other guys, it's feet first, right? You do the luge, you're laying back.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, that's still super fast. It's crazy. But, like, I would be inclined to try that. I know I can get injured, but it's not face
first. I mean, like, sliding into home is probably the only time I would say face first is safer.
But even then, you're not going like 60 miles an hour. You're going as fast as you can
run. As a human can run. Right.
Right. That's,
but right,
that's
you slide in feet first. A lot of times, the dude's going to be sitting there blocking the plate or whatever.
Oh, sure.
What do you own and how do you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
And when I was a kid, I slid feet first in home plate once. And home plate, like, you remember you used to play on those crappy fields?
Yeah.
Was, like, raised up for some reason? Yeah, that jacked up my leg good.
Oh, yes. Hello, Jeremy. Welcome to the men's room.
Gentlemen, hola.
Hola.
Hey, so Ted knows me. I was brewing a batch of one of his favorite beers that we make. And
oh, yeah.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Good, man.
I hadn't brewed in a while and kind of forgot some of the, you know, the things that happen when you add a bunch of hops to the batch. And you know when you keep a lid on a boiling pot of water, eventually it boils over and you get spilling all over the place. Well, this happened when we were brewing this batch of beer, and I had the lid closed on the boil kettle. And in my infinite wisdom, I thought, well, I'll relieve the pressure by just lifting that lid up. Well, what proceeded to happen was just a massive shoot of beer just came right at me at 212 degrees, all over my stomach, all over my body, second and third degree burns.
Ooh.
And it was, you know, people don't think that brewing is a life and potentially life endangering process, but man, thank God somebody had some edibles at the brewery that day, because otherwise I don't think I would have made it through.
Did you have to go to the hospital and get your skin taken care of or anything, or is that pretty much a Rite Aid trip?
You know, I probably should have, but one of the gals that works for me had some of that, like, kind of that silver stuff that you're supposed to put on burns, and I was patched up for, you know, probably a week and a half or so.
Yeah, yeah, you know what, you're right.
It ended up being fine.
I never would think of somebody getting burned, and I know you have to boil things, but I never would think of somebody getting burned in the process of making beer.
Well, no, because in theory, if you do everything right, nothing bad happens, and that's true of anything, right? If you do it right, nothing... But things don't always go right.
How did the batch turn out?
I think pretty damn good.
Okay.
And I was none the worse for the wear. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it ended up being all right. But lesson learned, and we're brave here, and just keeping things going. So,
you should have named it a second degree burn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in and on.
Yeah. Not fun. I don't advise lifting up the lid to the kettle when it's
warm. Yeah. But I bet you will never do it again.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like, especially if you do something like that all the time, it just, I don't know, you're just a little more careless with it?
The one time I cut myself really bad working in restaurants was the one time I decided, who needs safety? Been using knives forever. Someone called my name, no big deal. And I remember even having the passing thought, hey, keep your eyes on the cutting board, but I'm good at this. No worry. I looked at this guy for 1 second. 1 second in that time, I cut my entire finger. Not tip, but the print. I mean, it was gone. So my finger, when I held that, it looked like a hood. There was just nothing. In 1 second. Never did it again.
What Jeremy, by the way, that's he runs, Go Brewing down in Auburn.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Spelled right. with an X. Like New Orleans.
Yeah. Well,
G-E-A-U-X?
Don't ask me how to spell it. I said there's an X in it, Miles.
What tell you all and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Oh, you buy some camping gear. That'll be fun. Take the family out. Cheap vacation.
Sure.
Bonding and all that. Nothing like going on a camping trip when one strong gust of wind could take you and your family away to falling from your death in the middle of the night. Coast Guard in North Yorkshire, England. They got a call on Saturday afternoon after someone spotted a family's camping tent set up on a small patch of grass 2 feet from the edge of a cliff. The cliff had a 280-foot drop. Oh, and that area, by the way, has been known for landslides, especially at this time of the year. An officer says they explained the dangers to the two adults and the child in the tent and made them move back from the cliff
because
they could have also been blown over the edge. What do you own, and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? By the way, they did not stake down the tent. 206-421-ROCK.
A couple of quick comments here. Ted, you were talking about sliding in the home plate. That's probably one of the few times going face first is the best idea. Someone here says, I dislocated my foot and broke my leg sliding feet first in baseball. Two surgeries later, got a metal plate and a zipper to show for it. We were talking about sledding, snowboarding, winter sports in general. Someone says, just went snowboarding for the second time of my life at 30 years old and tore both my triceps. Fun times.
Both of your
triceps.
And then we had a quick conversation. You're talking about scarves as one of the dangerous.
Yeah.
Get caught in machinery, et cetera. This guy says, look, as for being dangerous, I pull all the strings out of my hoodies so they don't get caught on anything as I work on cars all day.
That makes a ton of sense,
though. All right.
Obviously, there's a reason for that.
But I'm saying, I want to know what inspired you to do that.
There's a lot there's a lot of things in a motor that rotate.
No, I get that. I understand. I'm saying his motivation. Did the other mechanics tell you to do this? Did you watch someone get their face smashed into an engine?
It happened to some mechanic somewhere along the line.
That's what I'm saying.
The story must get told, right?
Like, it makes sense. Yeah. I don't know that it would cross my mind if I'm a mechanic. The first time I wore a hoodie at work, I want to know what happened where he's like, yeah, check that.
Well, there would be a sense of satisfaction in knowing that that string will never just go up inside the hood and you have to dig it out.
That you actually did it on purpose.
It just, you know what I mean? I just pulled it out. It's already done with. And now I have to never worry about feeding halfway through.
I told you, my
that
kid
sucks.
Bought the jacket. Very proud of the jacket. The hood zips into the collar, specifically a rain hood. Very perfect for Seattle. And, I mean, I had the coat for like a week. My kid's like 2, 3 years old. Pulled the whole goddamn thing out.
Yeah, like the hoodie I wore today. Like, I don't think it has a drawstring on it anymore.
So if the wind blows, it just comes off, right?
Yeah, somewhere along the way, it got sucked up there and never returned.
What do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
And it just got yanked out the other side.
Yep. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Large parrots, a bunch of macaws, a couple cockatoos, and a smaller bird. And then I found out that the dander from their feathers was actually getting to my lungs and making it so I could not breathe correctly.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
I have.
Pneumonitis or bird fancier's disease.
Huh. So how long do you have to have these birds before you're at the risk of their bird dandruff getting into your lungs?
With every person, I guess it would be different. I've heard stories of other people with pigeons that got it pretty quick. Me, I probably owned parrots for 25, 30 years.
Is there a filtration system that you can buy, like a Dyson unit that would filter the air or anything like that?
I don't know. I had an EKG, and that's when I found out about it because during a pulmonary function test, they weren't working correctly, so they did an EKG and found the problem. A normal person probably wouldn't have found out. I was getting a workup for a second kidney transplant when they discovered it.
Now let me ask you a question, because I've been to the doctor before and I know a list of all the things that they ask you. As a matter of fact, sometimes they give you a form and they say, you know, if anybody in your family ever had this and you're
making right,
family,
right.
All these things. I've never seen anything specifically on there about do you own pets, what type, anything like that. So how do they figure this out?
Well, like I said, I was doing a workup for a second kidney transplant. I lost my first one to cancer after 27 years. And during the pulmonary function test, I wasn't breathing correctly.
So who thought to ask you, do you have a flock of birds living with you?
For them to connect that birds are responsible.
Like, how do they know this?
Part of transplant, they ask what kind of pets you have at home.
Okay.
They don't want you to own reptiles because they carry all sorts of diseases.
Salmonella.
Birds can be questionable. If they're not domesticated, they can carry a disease that can attack your brain.
Jesus.
So what kind of standard questions among the transplant community.
Do you still own birds?
No, I had to rehome her.
And how old was the bird?
She's probably about 12, 13.
Oh, she got another 40 years.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder how a bird does with that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, kid goes off to college and everything.
Sure.
But seriously, a bird's going to last, what, 40, 50 years? Maybe?
That kind of bird, sure.
Sure.
But that's my problem. How committed to having a pet are you to know? Because it's one thing. Look, your dog can die, and it sucks, and we've all been through it if you've had a dog, right? And it's not a great moment when you reach that peak, but you're talking on average 9 to 15 years. But you know that going into it, right? So it's a little different. It sucks, but you know it's coming. Right? But on some level, and I don't think anyone wants to admit it, it makes it a little easier to go get a dog, even if the dog or cat sucks. It's 9 to 15 years if you do a good job. When you get this kind of bird, man, like, you go, like, how old are you now? I'm 25. Like, bro, you might be 75 years old. You still have this bird.
Who
right?
was it?
You're going to get married. Yeah. You might have kids.
Who was
you're
it?
Gonna go, like, you're, whatever you're going to do in your life, you got like 50 years with this
you gotta
guy.
You got to remember, Bubbles is still alive. Michael Jackson's chimpanzee. There was something last
but
week.
But that's a chimp.
Somebody's animal died.
That's a good question, by the way. Would people buy less dogs if the dog was going to live for...
And I mean, because listen...
Well, you would because you wouldn't have to buy them as many. Because some people go through six,
but
seven
I don't
dogs
think anybody
lifetime.
Looks at it like that. Like, you're prepared to... A lot of people be like, I've had a dog all my life. Well, you haven't had that dog all your life. But I grew up with dogs. I moved out, got a dog. I got married, had kids, had dogs. Your kids will tell you the dogs they remember. And I do believe on some level, just knowing, like, look, this is not biologically connected to me where you have a much different...
Well, you don't know how it's going to go either.
That's what I mean. And I think that's what... Look, you don't know how it's going to go with your kid. But biologically, there's just something where you feel really protective. Mm-hmm. The dog's the dog. And you will grow to love your dog. But you also know there's an expiration date. And you'll probably be like, the bird, That is such a massively long commitment because I'm not marrying the bird. This bird is not my child. This bird is not a relative of mine.
Somebody's
I'm bringing this thing into my life for like 50. My mortgage is not 50. You could pay off your house. You could have had 3 divorces. Your kids have moved out. You're now a grandparent. And this mofo is still alive. Still.
Somebody's pet who was famous just passed away. And it was ridiculous when I heard it. It was like...
What kind of animal?
Ben Franklin's horse. Right. It was like a couple of years ago, a couple weeks ago. It was just in the news.
You mean like somebody who's like long dead?
Yes, and you could not believe that their animal is still alive. It was like Adolf Hitler's tortoise, or I don't know what the hell it was. It was some kind of freaky thing where I'm just like...
I mean, it would really, a tortoise... Or I guess one of these goddamn birds.
Well, my buddy's parents, like, they have one of those birds because the dad's friend had one, but he passed away.
That's what I mean.
But the bird was still, I mean, they're still going to have that bird for 20 years.
Like, if my kids don't like birds and I just want to piss them off, I'll get a bird because I'm like, hey, when I die, I'm going to put it in the will and leave it to you.
Yeah.
Because it's still going to be around. I can get one of these birds now. My oldest kid might be 60 years old when the goddamn thing dies.
That's kind of crazy.
See, I'm not into that. That's just me. You know what I mean? Like, I like my dog. But if they said, this dog will live for 50 years, I don't know, man.
I'm really interested in this, like, psychoanalysis conversation.
Like,
because people are like, I wish my dog could live forever. Like,
if you like that dog.
Well, now, he can live till 50. Right. You still going to get him?
Right. Because for 50 years, this is your... This is your dog.
This was
your dog loves you, right? But, I mean, that's the thing, but if your dog kind of sucks, or even if you have a dog that you love, but it's kind of bitey to the mailman, there's one little annoyance or something.
Yeah.
50 years, would people still, would Sarah McLachlan's song still be used in the SPCA video? Are they going to try to go heart-wrenching at that point? It's like, hey man, it's a 50-year commitment.
Yes, yes. I found it.
Found what?
The breaking news.
Ah!
Okay, this was the story.
Nice music. The band is quick.
She's flown off to the great pigeon coop in the sky.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
Divinity, one of Prince's original white doves from the When the Doves Cry video, just passed away.
Claim to I was in the When Doves Cry video.
It outlived him. It lived to 28 years old.
It shouldn't have.
It's a dove.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Right, but I mean...
The dove doesn't do drugs.
It was in the video, and he kept a couple of them as pets. This dove was still alive. So, up until last week, Divinity, the late pop icon's pet, passed away Tuesday due to deteriorating health related to her advanced age, according to a statement from Princess Paisley Park Estate. Divinity lived there with the singer since the early 90s and was one of several doves that Prince kept in his property's atrium. The other original pigeon, her name was Majesty, died in 2017.
That's still a long-lived bird, man.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that
did
was
it
like...
Did it say what it sounded like when the other doves cried?
It did not, no, because that was her mate, I guess. She was one of the enduring links to Prince for thousands of fans, according to Paisley Park.
That was the link?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Not my music, my dove.
29 years.
All right, would you get a dove? I say, Miles?
No, that's what I'm saying, that's too long. So I'm not screwing around with a dove for 29 years.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to sound evil, but for me... A cat, generally speaking, as far as mammals that we keep as pets, cats generally outlive dogs, right?
Exactly, right.
Like 20. Yeah. One of the reasons I'm willing to even deal with like Rainbow Jen, seriously, is because she's a cat, and half the time
she'll live to be 18.
I don't know where she is. I don't like. It's not a problem, man. All you got to do is put food in a bowl. She wants attention, she'll come get it. But generally speaking, she's gone. You can deal with that. But I do think it's different with the bird because the bird's always going to talk or squawk or whatever. Look, the dog. I don't even know if I can do 50 years with this dog.
I got a family emergency. I got to fly back to the East Coast, right?
All right.
I say, Ted, Steve, will you guys come over and take care of my dove?
No.
I don't know what to do with a dove.
I don't know.
What do you mean? It's just my pet. All you got to do is this, this, and this. Just change
the
paper.
I mean, in theory, you just. Right, you got to change paper.
Yeah.
I thought you just had
to take him out of the cage for a little bit. Just let him sit on your shoulder because he really enjoys that.
Oh, no.
Just for like 5 minutes.
So wait, your pet, he has a dog, you'll pet his dog, rub his belly, but you won't let the bird sit on your shoulder?
If you put your hand in the cage, he'll walk right up, and then he'll just go under your shoulder. Just let him sit there for 5 minutes, because he likes people.
I just don't trust that I can get that dove back in the cage.
You know what? That's fair.
That's my worry. No, I don't care that his dove's walking on me.
By the way, this is Prince's dove from When the Doves Cry video.
Right. What I care about is getting that dove back in the cage.
See, that's the other nice thing about dogs. If you have bacon, dog will do what you want.
Yeah.
Hey, I need you to go over here. Dog's not feeling toss a piece of bacon over there. The dog's over there. I mean, it's just that easy. Even if the dog knows you're duping him, he's like, it's worth the price of bacon.
And we've been around dogs. Like, I generally know how to, like, handle a dog, sure. Right? Even sometimes walking down the street, you can tell if a dog wants to be, if he talks
to be
you.
Touched,
right. Right, sometimes they give you that look, like, that dog looks pissed. Mm-hmm. But with this dove, I don't know. He's flying around the place.
I don't even care that it's Prince's dove. I don't think I'd be any more excited to see Prince's dove than just a regular
dove. What if Prince went out of town for a weekend? He came back.
Oh, he's out of town.
You're supposed to take care of his dove. You kill his dove. Can you imagine having that conversation with Prince?
And you wouldn't just try to replace it? Well, you honest to
it's
God.
He's 28 years old. He's had this thing forever. It's his friend.
Man,
he knows the dove.
I would rather Prince get mad at me in 3 months going, I understand that you lied to me. Be like, yeah, no. I did, man, because I don't want to tell you that your goddamn dove
died. More like, what happened to Divinity?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That sounds horrible. I don't care who it is. You're. I mean, I've dog sat. I fish watch.
Fist watch. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fist watch.
But I'm just thinking.
Didn't know you were
like,
there that night.
He kept this watch.
You're like, forget Prince. Like, I don't want to have to call Miles and be like, so about that dove.
No, here's the difference. All right,
it's dead.
It's hard to replace a dog or cat because I feel like the owners know the personality. Maybe the same thing with cocks.
You can't replace.
No,
I know the habits of my dog, dude.
There's no chance.
Yes.
I have a six-month window before you even get suspicious that I replaced your dove.
Doves do.
Your dog, you know, in a day.
Their pigeons are all
in
the day.
Your cat, you know, in a day. Guess what? I killed all your fish. I went to the pet store and replaced. You don't know.
What if I have a little black mark on my side? I'm a white dove. What are you going to mascara that in?
That's different. Yeah,
what?
I would.
And what if the dove we replace it with now is like up at night chirping?
Yeah, look at
but his original dove.
Okay, that's an easy play. So you're Prince, you call me, you're pitching.
He knows.
I've come home and I've noticed that my dove likes to chirp at night. I'd be like, dude, you know what? The time that I spent with your dove, this is what we did.
He would not say that. He would say, that is not Divinity. Where's my dove?
I know it's not because I know how to make doves cry. He does not sound. Where? How doves sound when they cry.
Tell me where Divinity is.
You have made principles terrifying.
Jesus.
I will bring all 5'4" of myself there.
Divinity is my child. Where did I put my child?
I'm coming over to hang out with your wife.
That's
like,
the
easy
problem.
Prince.
I don't think you understand the level of intimacy that
we will find Divinity. What do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Vanessa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Oh, boy.
Vanessa.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I'm calling to answer your question.
Perfect.
About the dangerous thing, of course, that, you know, you figured out. But it's sad because you guys started talking about cats or your pets dying, and I just had to have my cat put down this morning. So it was weird because I was just trying to cheer up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, yeah,
it was, okay. Like, all right. Glad we can help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, no, I'm fine though. It's like I know that's what.
Well, how old was the cat? How old was the cat?
16.
All right, it's about right. What if I said your cat has another 34 years?
Yeah, no. See,
you still want to put him down this morning? That's my point.
Well, he had to be put down, but, you know, it's pretty rough. But, okay, so but let's get to the point here. That's what I was told to do. Okay, so I got this statue years ago. I worked at a weed shop before it was legal at the, like, at the rec, not a rec shop.
A medical shop. Yeah, we know where you
are. Medical shop. Yeah, okay. And so... I'm sorry. I'm just, like, frustrated right now because the kitty dying. And so, anyway...
What was the cat's name?
Oh, Teabag.
What happened to Teabag?
Teabag. he's kind of obese, and he got a liver problem. So
you know what? That's pretty common. That's why Dr. Gomez went down.
Yeah, exactly. And I've already had it happen with other cats before.
Sorry. It's just you know, your cat, Dr. Gomez. So I know you're trying to relate, man. It's just like...
What's wrong with that?
Such exactly.
I don't know, man. We bonded there. Vanessa and I came together. I
mean, maybe you guys should get your cats out of the bars.
Her cat's name is freaking Teapot. I mean, Dr. Gomez is suave.
No, Teabag.
Teabag.
Oh, Teabag. Oh, that's great. Teabag. That's awesome.
We're allowed to see that, right?
I know what I'm going to do when the cat goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Don't put your head on the arm of that couch, buddy.
Oh, yeah, no, I put a teabag under his face last night for a pillow before he died because I knew we had to put him down today. Anyway.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay. No, I know. Okay, so there was this this sphinx statue, and it was, like, all gold and really pretty and, like, this fancy sculpture that somebody made that was there at the place I worked at. And then I was cleaning up around the place I worked, and I looked underneath, and it had my birthday on it. And then I asked the owner, I was like, do you even want this? It's a really cool statue. Like, do you even care? And he's like, no, you can have it. And then pretty much for a year and a half after that, everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Wait, are you blaming the statue?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because then what happened after about a year and a half of just crap, you know, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was like, this thing is just staring at me, and maybe this is the problem, you know? And so I had a bunch of stuff I was going to give away to some friends and whatever. And my friends, like, oh, my roommate, she would love that. You know, she's this crazy artist.
Give her bad luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you give her the curse of Tutankhamun as well?
I know, but I warned her. I said, you know, I'm like, I'm warning you. This thing is cursed, and I just don't really know what to do with it. Mm-hmm.
That's
and,
how I give like, gifts all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, it wasn't a gift. It was like, I'm getting rid of this. It wasn't a gift. Did, I just said,
well, Vanessa, did anything bad happen to your friend?
Yeah, a bunch of bad things. And so within about a month and a half, it was out on the street, broken in the middle of, you know, the street in Wallingford. Like,
I wondered about that. Yeah, yeah, sure. Do me a favor. That one shop on 45th that has the gold cats that wave at you, in honor of Teabag, don't buy one of those.
Oh, yeah, no, I already have some of those that people gave me as gifts anyway.
How many do you have?
You have the waving cat guy?
Oh, yeah, of course. I even have kitty shoes. I have kitty everything. I'm really into cats. But
do you have an actual cat?
Oh, no. Oh, look out, Zap. Oh, no.
Would you call me?
I don't know if she had two cats, man.
Vanessa, and convenient enough for you to live in Wallingford, you do realize that there is a cat cafe on 45th, right?
Oh, I do know about that cat cafe.
Ooh, because cats are delicious.
Yeah, you can just go in there and hang with some random Jacko's cat.
Yeah,
left it for the day so someone can pet it.
Yeah, I have my own cats. I don't need to just go to a cat.
Well, how many more do you have? Well, how many more do you have besides Teabag?
Oh, I have two more. Elsa and Anna, and I have a bunny named Butters, named after the dude from South Park. You know,
well, who else would it be named after? You
know, it's either named after Butter or Butters.
Butters and Teabag.
Butters McBuggin is what I call him.
How old is Butters?
Butters is about maybe 6 months old now.
And what's the average lifespan of a house bunny?
I'm not really sure, but it's a lot longer than an outside bunny because where I saved him from, he was running across the street on a highway, and I grabbed him.
You grabbed some random-ass bunny and brought him into your house?
Oh, hell yeah, I did.
Well, how do you know he wasn't, like, going back to his place, man?
Well, because I already knew that there was a bunch of bunnies out there that people were just going to eat. They were, like, we got a bunch of bunnies out there, and they escaped. And so I grabbed this one guy, and I said, I'm taking you home with me, dude.
So other bunnies get eaten there, you're saying?
Well, and they were freezing to death. The guy that owns the house where I got that bunny from, he was like, yo, we keep losing bunnies because they freeze to death. And I was just so upset about that. I'm thinking, oh, I'm so glad that I got Butters and that he didn't even know that I got this.
Vanessa, cat. We're glad you got Butters.
Oh, yeah, Butters.
We're sorry about Teabag.
Very sorry. Yeah. We didn't know.
We're gonna take a break, Vanessa, real quick. So we're gonna let you go because we know a lot of people are calling you to go out.
People like Vanessa. They're mad at me, but they like Vanessa.
So you were right, but when you asked her, I thought
it came out wrong.
It came exactly like you would say.
But do you have a cat? No, because he's dead.
I was not gonna follow with that. I just wanted to ask a direct question. I said I'm really into cats, and I knew Teabag's gone, man. So it just seemed like the right question.
Ryan Castle on the way.
Oops.
We will sit and spin today the 10 best album opening songs of all times. You are listening to The Men's Room, or maybe not.